Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good to hear. Got to get myself set up. There we go. Got to get my water. Amen. Well, it's been a great weekend. If you have a Bible, please turn it to Philippians chapter 1. And we'll be there in just a couple minutes. We definitely want to welcome everybody again to the Sunday service of the Auburn Tuskegee Christian Church. If you're visiting with us, we are so grateful to have you. We know there are a lot of places you could have been this Sunday morning, and we're grateful you decided to come and be with us. For our church family, it's been a very exciting weekend this weekend. Last night was our Hearts on the Dance Floor dance. Which I heard was awesome. I almost pulled some pictures off of Facebook this morning to show you guys. I took some pictures last night, and the one picture that Kat Watson decided to put up was this terrible selfie I took. Apparently, it was awesome. It was one of those things where the girls asked me to like take a picture of them, so I grabbed the camera and pretended like I knew how to hold it, and I held it backwards and took a picture of myself. That's just the kind of guy I am. I'm working on it. But it was just, I definitely want to hold up Chidia and the Watsons and everybody who was involved in planning the dance. It was just so much fun. And Markia, and I know I'm missing people. God knows who you are, and He's proud of you. But I really am. It was just a ton of fun to be together. It was particularly special for Bethany and Jack and I because we got to dance together as a family. And then at one point, I asked Trey to play the song that Bethany and I danced to at our wedding. And he did It's Forever by the Beach Boys. Or if you're in my age group, it's Forever by Jesse and the Rippers, depending from Full House. Anybody? Bueller? No, all right, I'm working on it. But that was awesome. Even more exciting was Friday night when Ashley got baptized. So Ashley got baptized Friday night. It was hot in the hot tub, but over at the Reserve. And we just had such a good time being together. So really proud of Ashley and her new life in Jesus. And we hope many more of us will make that decision as well. This morning, we're continuing our series called To Live is Christ. And we're studying through together as a church the book of Philippians. So this morning we're going to talk about Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The theme of our service this morning is to live as partnership and prayer. To live as partnership and prayer. So let's start off by reading our text. I'll say a prayer and we'll dig on in. First, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 says this. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart. And you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. For God is my witness how I deeply miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of the Lord, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. God, it's just so great to be together today. And I know for me, I'm particularly excited to be able to preach from the book of Philippians. And God, this is just such an amazing book written to our brothers and sisters in the church in Philippi some 2,000 years ago. And our brother Paul, inspired by the Spirit, was trying to encourage and inspire their hearts to live is Christ. And God, I pray that today as we talk about these issues of partnership and prayer and the things we see here in this first part of Philippians and Paul's letter to this church, God, I pray that our own hearts will be stirred and moved. Pray that we can walk away today feeling a greater need and a greater call to have partners in the gospel. God, I pray that we can leave today praying more for our partners in the gospel. And that we can leave today feeling more connected to you and to one another. And we can leave and head out into our days and live is Christ. God, we really do thank you for this opportunity. Thank you especially that I get to speak. I pray that you give me the words to say. Help me know what to say and how to say it to really encourage and inspire people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in honor of Valentine's Day, I wanted to start off by telling you guys the story of Bethany and I's first date. This picture was taken the day after we started dating steady in 2003. We were both 18 years old. And apparently, we wore the same shade of lipstick. And it was funny, I was looking back at this picture and I noticed that. I'm like, you know, that would not surprise me considering where my mind is at the time. Notice that awesome ball necklace I was wearing. And I did have earrings way back in the day. Yay, 2003. But I met Bethany in that spring, and I came back for orientation in June of 2003, and I asked Bethany on a date. And we had already talked a few times on the phone, and I was already starting to get more and more excited about getting to know her. So I wanted to plan a very special date. So I started to think, what could be the most special thing I could do? Where could I take her that would so impress her? Where would be the best romantic spot? So we went to Sonic. Because that was the most romantic restaurant I could think of, was Sonic. And I was just like so nervous. So we order our food, and I was so nervous, I ended up talking for the first 20 minutes of our date. We were doing it on a double date with some friends. And for the first 20 minutes of our date, I talked about the fact that they only gave me one onion ring when I got to Sonic. If you've ever gotten the chicken finger plate, they give you a single onion ring. I have a problem with that. Give me four or give me none. Do not give me one onion ring. It's the worst tease in the world. But anyway, so we went to Sonic and had this great conversation where I was very nervous. And I decided, you know what I need to do next? I need to show Bethany my athletic prowess. Because girls really like guys with athletic prowess. So we went to go play mini golf. Because if there's one place where you can show your athletic prowess, it's on the mini golf course. And I was so bad. I'm normally okay, but for whatever reason, that night I was terrible. So I tried to recover quickly, but I couldn't. So it was really bad. And then I'm like, okay, we need to like make this up. I need to show her I'm a really sensitive guy, and we're going to go see a movie. And so we went to go see Memento. And if you've ever seen Memento, this is a movie. Thank you. This movie is legitimately really good. But this is the worst date movie of all time, all right? It's about a guy who's trying to find the murderer of his wife, but it's all in reverse because he has no short-term memory. So like every 5 minutes the scene resets because the guy can't remember what happened. So it's grisly and it's about the death of a loved one. Very romantic. This was our first date. So the next day I ran into Bethany and she handed me a thank you card. And she gave me some cookies as well. So I thought we just had like the greatest date of all time. All right. So I started to think of what could possibly be written in this thank you card. So I imagine it was going to be something like this. My dearest Jake, I can barely contain my joy after our evening out. Your prowess on the miniature golf course is only matched by your delightful wit and your rugged handsomeness. Oh, that would it be only a short time before we would do it again. Love, .. your sister in Christ, Bethany. Now, there's a couple problems with this. One, unless you're in Downton Abbey, nobody talks like this. But number two, that was the first date we ever went on. So her card was, I was thinking this morning, I think I have it somewhere, but I couldn't find it. So the card she gave me was actually something more like this. Jake, thanks for a great night. I had a lot of fun. Your sister in Christ, Bethany. Which, considering the circumstances, was entirely appropriate. But I was like a little heartbroken. I'm like, that was such a great date, and this is the thanks I get, this card. Oh, she doesn't like me. And I don't know what I thought, but you know, it's amazing. So that was in June of 2003. And over the course of this last 10 years, some really cool things have happened. We dated all through college. We dated for 4 years in college. We went to the University of South Carolina. I had a bad tan. We got married, and that was incredible. And just so many fun memories around that time. We moved to Auburn. This picture was taken the night before the inaugural service of the Auburn Tuskegee Christian Church in August of 2007 on Toomer's Corner, where about 40 of us gathered and had this huge singing devotional. Just right there on the corner. And there was brothers like jumping into traffic to invite people out to church. It was so cool. And you know, we've got to experience planning our family together. And these were some of the pregnancy photos we took. And having our family together. And the joy of being married. And just the excitement that is all that. And just, I mean, it's just awesome. This is my life. And over the last 10 years, we've gone from this first date where we barely knew each other to, let me tell you, we exchanged cards on Friday. The cards we wrote today on Friday were very different than the cards we got after our first date. Because over the course of the last 10 years, we built an incredible partnership. We are heading in the same direction. We are in life together. We are doing life together. We are on the same page, trying to go in the same direction together. We've built this incredible partnership. And you know, if you look at these first 11 verses of the book of Philippians, I don't know about you, but what jumps out to me among other things was how Paul described his feelings about and his relationship with the church in Philippi. You know, you think about the different things Paul wrote to these group, to the disciples in the church in Philippi. He said, I thank my God every time I remember you, in verse 3. In verse 4, he said, I always pray with joy. You know, and down in verse 7, he said, I have you in my heart. And then lastly, in verse 8, he says, I long for all of you. You know, you look at this, and what you see here is you see close, tight-knit relationship that Paul had with this church in Philippi. Well, why? What was the basis for it? It's funny, if you look back at the book of Philippians, or at the book of Acts, Paul probably only spent weeks, maybe months, with this group of disciples. And yet, this is the letter he wrote back to them. Why? After weeks, if not months, some of us have known people for years and would not describe in a letter, I long for you. I pray with joy for you. No. But why? What was it about this relationship that made it so that Paul could, in good conscience, with great passion, say these things about this group of people? Let's look back in our Bibles, verse 3 through 5. He says this, I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The reason that Paul was able to write back to the Philippian church with such passion and love, with such joy, with such longing, is because Paul recognized and knew that with this church, he had a genuine sense of partnership. That they had a partnership that was based on and grounded in the gospel. That they together had a common goal. Now, what was that common goal? You say they had a partnership in the gospel. This is the Greek word for gospel. It's euangelion, and it literally means good news or good tidings. So their partnership was based on some very good news. Our partnership was based on some very good news. And as disciples of Jesus, what do we believe that good news is? One, Jesus died. I love so much what Ken said, this amazing story of redemption. And whether we are consider ourselves to be the worst of sinners or the best behaved kid on the block, there's all something we need to be redeemed of. And there's no amount of good things we can do to make up for all the bad things we have done. And that's why we needed Jesus. We needed someone to take on our punishment, to die in our place for our sins, so that we could be reconciled, redeemed to a holy, almighty God who wants to adopt us as his sons and his daughters. But we believe it's not only good news that Jesus died, but that Jesus rose again. That there is hope, that the tomb is empty. That Jesus conquered hell and death and sin and freed us up in 1 Corinthians 15, where we find out that someday we too will rise from the dead just like Jesus did. To a new life and a new heaven and a new earth and a new kingdom where God is ruling and reigning with us and among us. That idea is so amazing to me. You know, over the years, you just learn that God is the best friend you will ever have. Because he's the only friend who will never let you down or disappoint you, who will never hurt you, who always has your best in mind. Always has your best in mind. And the idea that my connection with God isn't just going to be through my time in the Bible, through my relationships with other people, and through prayer, but that I'm going to be able to walk with him. That God is going to hold my hand and we're going to get to walk together like a son and his father. Blows my mind that this is what I have. This is good news. Streets of gold are not good news. I can make a city. I can't. A rich person could make a city with streets of gold. I mean, you look at like Dubai, man. They built islands that look like the earth. It's like incredible. That's not why. Heaven is heaven. It's good news because when we get there, or probably more likely from Scripture, when it finally comes here, we get to be with God forever. That is really good news. That is awesome news. And it's not because you're all that good. It's in spite of the fact that you're terrible. I know that's what you want to hear. You want to come to church on a Sunday morning and hear the preacher say, you're terrible. But guess who else? I am jacked up, messed up. If you saw the thought, if I had to walk around with a thought bubble, oh boy, not awesome. But that I get to walk with my God someday. But not only do I get to walk with my God someday, but I get to walk with him now, not in the same way, but I get to walk as Jesus now. I get to follow in his footsteps. There's an old phrase that the Jews would use to describe the relationship between a teacher and his student. They would say, you would walk in their dust. In other words, you would walk so closely behind them that the dust they would kick up from the road would be what you would have to walk through to follow them. That I get to walk in the dust of Jesus. God who became man, that I get to walk like him, that I get to be a part of bringing the kingdom that is to come and whatever part I can here now. That I get to be a part of making this place more like God would want it to be by me walking as Jesus would walk. That's good news too. It's not just good news that someday we get to go there. It's good news that we can, as much as we can, knowing we're sinful, live like they're here now. And that we get to walk in the dust of our rabbi, of Jesus. This is good news. This is what, for the Christian, builds genuine feelings and realities of partnership. Gospel partnership that's based on getting to heaven and bringing as many people with us as possible. Because it's not about us coming here and loving Sundays and going and doing relationships and having dances where we watch Michael put on his huge fro and put all of us to shame and then making poor Mike wear the fro later in the night. Although those things are great, and we're going to keep doing stuff like that because it's a lot of fun, but it's about bringing people in. It's about helping other people realize that this is good news too. If it's really that good, we'll want to tell other people about it. And we'll get to that in a second. Gospel partnership is about getting to heaven and bringing as many with us as possible. And because we have this in common, it makes other things we don't have in common less important. Now, this is my friend Perry Keefe. Perry is the campus minister at the Columbia Church of Christ in Columbia, South Carolina. When Perry was a freshman in high school, I studied the Bible with and helped baptize Perry. Perry and I are about as different as you could be. I remember when I first started studying the Bible with Perry, and I'm a jock. I played sports all through high school, and almost all of my analogies were like sports analogies. Perry was the freakish athlete, one of those freakish athletes I ever saw, who absolutely hated playing sports and thus how athletic he was. He hated it. What he loved was Dragon Ball Z. All right? So, if you don't know this, God bless you. You are a lucky man or woman. So, I'd be like trying to make... I'm sorry, that wasn't cool. I've been trying to... I totally killed my own point. He was trying to like explain to me... I would be trying to explain to him deep concepts in the Bible. It's, you know, it's like a coach with his athlete. And it would just whoo, way over his head. He would have no idea what I was talking about. But he would talk about this. So one day I'm like, okay, Perry, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to come over and you're going to show me Dragon Ball Z. And I just want to watch an episode. I want for you to teach me why this is so awesome. So we sat down and we watched an episode of Dragon Ball Z. And I wanted to recreate for a second this episode of Dragon Ball Z I watched. All right. You guys ready? I'm going to take 30 minutes and condense it into 3 seconds. That was the show! I'm not even kidding for a second. And all of you Dragon Ball Z fans who want to like get really defensive, you know that what it's a half hour of active Dragon Ball Z, I condensed into 3 seconds and you totally got it. It was literally two guys like, and then they like panned to the other guy, 30 minutes! And I'm like, what in the world? Why are we... I watched it. And for months on end, I would come over to his house every Saturday night, and we'd watch anime together on Saturday nights. And at the end of it, he got baptized. He's married to an amazing woman doing amazing things for God. I still don't particularly like this show. But Perry Keefe, and he still loves this stuff. But Perry Keefe is one of the best friends I'll ever have. I will do anything for that kid. Why? Because there is something more important to us than what we liked to do. This is what Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you were baptized into Christ, having clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. So what's Paul saying here? That this partnership that we now have supersedes anything that would separate us. So anything that the world would use or Satan would use to try and tear people apart, the gospel supersedes that and pulls us together in genuine partnership. Because we believe in Jesus and we believe in being with Jesus and ultimately we believe in bringing people to Jesus. White and black don't matter. Rich and poor don't matter. Young and old don't matter. Jock and nerd don't matter. whatever you're interested in, whatever you like to do, at the end of the day, what we're about as disciples is Jesus. And that supersedes all the junk the world wants to use to tear us apart. So what does that mean? There is no room for racism in the church. Zero. Jesus got rid of that. We are all one. Nothing that could separate us matters anymore. There is no room for sexism in the church. There is no room for classism in the church. Zero. I think that's becoming a bigger issue today than ever before. The rich versus the poor. None of that. There is no room. Hear me clearly on this. There is no room for ageism in the church. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. We are all, or wherever you think you are in the spectrum. Maybe you feel uncomfortable with the word old. Seasoned. It doesn't matter if you're young or seasoned. Those things don't matter. What matters is our partnership in the gospel. Are you with me on this? So here's what I want to encourage you to do. If any prejudices or racisms that you might have that you've been afraid to talk about with people, I am freeing you up to talk about, to be honest about. Let's be honest. We all think those fleeting thoughts of, and cultural is huge, man. That's my big thing. Is I can have fleeting thoughts of how the culture I grew up in, suburban America, is somehow superior to other cultures. That's where I can find myself allowing prejudice to come into my heart, is this is the way people should live. Wrong. I want to free you up. Be honest. Be open. Get that like junk out there so it's no longer a blocker to you having legitimate partnership. Some of us may have grown up in a culture where you heard that black people were evil or white folks were evil or anywhere in between. Not here. So we just need to talk about it. Amen? Because what bonds us and what provides us with genuine partnership is what? Jesus is the gospel. Now let me talk about this a little bit more, because I think it's not only our prejudices that can block true partnership. I really like football. And I really like playing football. Now, let's be honest. Here's the other thing I think can block true partnership. If some of us has become too comfortable with watching other people play football while we put a recliner on the field. All right? Some of us have become way too comfortable with letting other people be about the work of the gospel while we just sit back and watch. You know, it's true in our church. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. 80% of the non-Christians brought out to church are brought out by 20% of the people. That's just where we're at. More of us need to engage in the mission of God. And some of us sit back and we're like, well, I'm not racist, I'm not prejudiced, but I don't feel close to people. I don't feel like I have those kind of relationships. You know what? That may be true. Here's what I would ask you. Are you actively involved in the mission of God? Because if you're not actively involved in the mission of God, you won't feel close to people. You will not feel close to people, because everything that will bond you to people will be superficial and won't last. But when we're about the Jesus thing, that bonds you to people like nothing else. When you're fighting for souls, when you're fighting for one another's souls. And a lot of us remember, I loved Friday night we had just a time of sharing. We did a ring of honor with the campus ministry, helping each other be more expressive. And Chris Lucy rolled into town, and people totally jacked up the ring of honor rules because everybody wanted to share about Chris. It was like unofficial Chris Lucy encouragement night. So that's great. I'm glad he's back. But one of the things that became clear over and over and over again, and one of the things that people talked about with Chris is, Chris, you were unafraid to tell me what I needed to hear. That builds partnership, because we're truly invested in helping one another be close. Maybe you're not close to anybody because you're such a coward you won't tell anybody the truth. Because you're so gosh darn afraid of having an uncomfortable moment that you're okay with having a surfacey relationship. Maybe that's why. Maybe it's because you can't remember the last time you studied the Bible with a non-Christian. And I think about some of my closest relationships. It's because we prayed and fought for people together to become disciples of Jesus. We worked together. We were late at night, early mornings, because we wanted to help people become disciples of Jesus together. And maybe it's just been so long since you shared your faith or were in a study, you're feeling disconnected from people because you don't feel that partnership of helping people grow together and helping people know Jesus together. Here's what I encourage us to do. Let's empty the bench. Okay. All right? Let's empty the bench. Let's get everybody in the game, in the mission of God, to be about helping others get to heaven and making sure we get there too. You know, I was thinking a lot about this week, and it's always good when you like preach to apply it to yourself. So I was thinking a lot about the last, 10 years of my life, and I was thinking about what over the last 10 years has been the most important to me. And I think if I'm honest, the majority of that time, what was most important to me was success. I think most men understand the feeling of wanting to be good at what they do and wanting to experience someone. I'm sure a lot of you women do as well. That feeling of, I want to be good at what I do. I want to feel successful. And over the course of the last 10 years, and it's funny for me because the line can blur so much because we are in the ministry. We build churches. I want to be successful at this. So it's amazing how much over the last 10 years the line has blurred, and it's become about being successful. And you know what? I've been successful. Frankly, I mean, the places we've gone, our ministries have grown and people have changed. But in the midst of it, I think I've come to realize that I've traded true partnership for success. That I could have, and I think about the Kendall Alberts and the Tom Browns and some brothers I do feel deeply connected to, but I also thought back over some of those relationships that could have been so much deeper if I was more concerned with partnership than success. And honestly, I feel like our time here has been a reset button on that for me. And this being in this group and being with this ministry, I think has really helped to change my heart in that way. Where I do believe I've become more concerned with genuinely being partners with people and less concerned with having success. So it was amazing. Mitchell and Chidian and I went to go play disc golf last week because that's what I do with my spare time. It's a lot of fun. And we're leaving, we're praying. We were praying for something specific with the ministry as we're leaving. And along the way, I started praying. I'm like, you know what, God, I just love this time. Because this is the first time in a long time I felt like I've had really, really good friends. I'm so grateful for Mitchell and Chidia that I feel like these guys are we are partners together. And that's what we need to have together. But we got to set aside anything that could block that. I love seeing like people in the crowd be like, oh, you're my partner. namely, Christine and CN. It was very cute. That's what I'm talking about. So let's empty the bench, but let's also get rid of any prejudices we might have that are preventing us from having true partnership with one another. I want to touch on this too, because I do think this is important. Because not only does Paul talk about partnership, he talks about pray for your partners. Let's look back at our Bible. Let's start in verse 9. He says this, and I pray this, that your love will keep growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So we see that Paul prayed for them, and we've seen how he prayed for them, and we see why he prayed for them like that. But here we get a really cool insight into this is what Paul prayed for the brothers and sisters in Philippi who he dearly loved. And for me, I love working backwards a little bit, because the last thing he talked about was glorify God. So he's like, all this, my prayer is you glorify God. That's what life's about. Life's not about self-glorification. Life's about God-glorification. The more we get that, the better off we will be. And he kind of works backwards as to how this will happen. He talks about that if we bear fruit, we'll glorify God. And how do we bear fruit? And We want to bear lots of fruit. We want to be abundantly fruitful of every kind. Excuse me, we want to grow in our character. I'm sorry, we want to grow in our character. We want to help non-Christians be saved. We want to see more babies born in this church, all right? Like literal physical babies. That's awesome. That's part of the fruit. We need to like, I want to hear like babies crying in the middle of my sermon. Nah, amen. All right. But this is awesome. But then he goes back even further. And how do we bear much fruit? By making godly decisions. By making godly decisions. You pray that, let's go back to the verse. He says this. He's like, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in Christ. So you can tell the difference between good things and better things. And ultimately that will lead to glorifying God, which is led to through bearing fruit. You know, we deal with a lot of decisions in our lives that two roads are diverging in a wood. And you wonder, there's certain decisions that we like to make complicated that actually aren't. Like, should I steal this? I could really glorify God with the money I would make from it. Could feed lots of poor people if I break into this bank. Well, no. Like, a lot of times, like, we try and make gray areas out of black and white things that, okay, look at the Bible. Read the Bible. There's an easy answer. Should you steal this? God would say no. All right? Amen? So there are certain decisions like that. But we also know there are certain decisions that are a little more complicated than that. All right? That are a little, where should I go? And how should I do it? And where should I move? And what job should I take? And all those different kind of things. And we can sit back and like think about it. I mean, like decisions we make every day. Should I go play disc golf today? That's an important decision. But here's, I think Paul would push us in a direction. And what he prayed, ultimately, so these group of disciples would glorify God, he starts off saying, I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge of depth and insight. So here's what I want to encourage us to do. And here's what Paul prayed for, and here's, I think, what we need to pray for each other. That we can have love-based decision-making. Amen. All right? Love-based decision-making. Here's what I mean by that. What will allow me to love God and love people best? So you think about this upcoming week and you think about the difficult decisions you have to make, whatever they are, and you're like, I don't know what to do. One, read your Bible. Two, get good counsel. But three, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Take a step back and ask this question. In this decision, big or small, what will allow me to love God and love people the best? And make that decision. See, things become far less complicated if we're focusing on loving God and loving people. Things become more complicated when it's the battle between loving God and loving people and loving ourselves. Because often we want to love ourselves first. This year I got a phone call from a friend of mine who I had helped become a Christian. And we were just kind of talking and catching up. And at one point he very matter-of-factly talked about how he had reconnected with an old friend of his from high school, a girl who was not a disciple, not a believer in Jesus, and that he had developed really, really deep feelings for her, and that he wanted to start dating her. So we were talking it through, and I'm like, okay, explain to me what your thinking is, and I kind of want to know why you want to do this, And the phrase that kept coming back was, I have strong feelings for her. She makes me feel good. And those were, the personal pronouns were everywhere. And we started talking about it more, and I'm like, okay, so you say you have strong feelings for this girl. And I'm like, dude, if you really loved her, if you really cared for her as much as you said you did, what would be the most important thing to you? Wouldn't it be her having a relationship with you? It would be her having a relationship with God. That's the most loving thing you could do, is helping her know God, not helping her know you better. So I'm like, really, the decision you're making. And then he kept going back, and as I encouraged him, he's like, well, I'll really pray about it. And I'm like, okay, dude, you could do that, but you're looking for a way out. And I think what you need to do is decide you're going to love God and love her more than you love yourself. And make love-based decisions. Because love-based decisions ultimately do lead to greater wisdom. And they ultimately do lead to purity. And they ultimately do lead to bearing lots of fruit. And in bearing lots of fruit, we glorify God. We point to God and say, look how awesome he is. So that's what Paul prayed for these folks. Those are probably some things we need to pray for ourselves and start being active in making love-based decisions. But I also think we need to start praying that for each other. Because to live is partnership and prayer. So two challenges I want to close you guys with. One, find a partner. All right? Find a gospel partner and or partners and commit to living gospel together. Living reconciliation together, living honesty with each other. And you know what I think would be really cool? If your partner in particular was someone who is nothing like you. Right? Who is nothing like you. An introvert and an extrovert. Now that's a good combination. That's Bethany and I. Introvert and an extrovert. I bet you guys would have a hard time guessing which is which. But find a partner and invest in that partnership. Spend some time even praying about that. But I imagine some of us have been like eyeing a friendship for a while. It says, I really need this person to partner with me. Talk to that person like today. It's okay to have a, I really need us to be partners conversation. We like everything to be so organic that nothing ever gets done, all right? So, or you know what? You know how they make organic apples? By planting seeds in the ground, all right? That organicness happens by somebody making a decision. So make that, it can be organic and still be deliberate. So we gotta make those decisions. And also, we gotta pray for our partners every day. What would happen if we prayed for each other every day? If you have one person every day praying, God, really help. God, help Chris. Help Nate. Help whoever. Help Danielle today bring you glory by making decisions based on love. That'd be so inspiring. And then that would help you be closer to God. That would help them be closer to God. That would help you be closer to them. It's hard to be upset at somebody or not feel close to somebody you're praying for often. To live is Christ. And because to live is Christ, to live, according to Paul here in Philippians chapter 1, is partnership and prayer. Let's stand up and sing one more song.